We have Pastor Cal here from the Church Upon the Rock in Hartville, and he's come a long way. His wife is here as well and family, so we want you to make sure that you give him all the respect he's due and listen up to the message, because you're here for a reason and a purpose, as we all are. And we, at the end of the service, have plenty of people here willing and able to pray with you. We have the altar over here, and Pastor Cal will mention that at the end of his sermon. So let's pray. Well, Father, we do come before your throne. We love you today. We praise you, and we give you all the glory. Lord, we know that it's cold outside, and we thank you, Jesus, that you provide this nice, warm, beautiful shelter for us. And bless this church for opening up their doors, Lord. Father, as we begin to remember, Lord, that you are here, we surrender ourselves to you today. And Father, I pray that there is someone here today that's so hungry for you, that they're so sick and tired of being sick and tired, that they want to change, and they know it's you. So, Father, speak through Pastor Cal as he brings your word, as he speaks boldly with authority in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for all the food that's come in. We ask you, Lord, to bless it to our bodies. And for all the clothing out there that's free in the name of Jesus. We give you all the honor, the glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this is Pastor Cal. Give him a nice, warm welcome, because he's come all the way down from Hartville. Amen.
All right.
Good morning. I hope everyone's doing well today on this cold, snowy day. Now, I'm one of the weird ones, to be honest with you. I enjoy the snow. So I didn't get enough of it this year, but I'm enjoying this. And yes, it was tough getting down here with the roads and everything, but I still enjoy what God blesses with that, the snow and all the weather. That's why I live in Ohio. I like all four seasons. Before I get started, I'd just like to pray one more time. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I ask, humbly come before you, bow my heart to you, and ask that you would use the words that are spoken here today to touch your loved ones' hearts. Open their hearts, O God, to receive what you have for them. Open my mouth, O Lord, to release what you have for your loved ones. And Father, I pray for anointing upon your word, that as we get into your word, that your word would go in and penetrate and touch the hearts of all your loved ones here today. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these men and women. We ask that your blessings would be upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off with just sharing a story, if you don't mind. A story of a boy that really, when people look at his life, they say, well, he wasn't so bad. But as a young boy, he was getting involved with all kinds of sorts of things that was introduced to him at a very young age. Things like pornography at 8 years old. Things like alcohol at 10 years old. Things like smoking and things like that. And all these things were just in his life. And he so often got involved with these things. And as time went on, at 14 years old, he was part of a family of five. And as time went on, at 14 years old, him, his older brother and his younger brother had a go-kart, and they were riding this go-kart down the road and turning in and coming back, and they would share and the next one to get a ride. And the one brother, the youngest brother, went down and didn't come back. It was like, what happened? So the oldest brother and the middle brother, they got on their bikes and rode down there and found out what would happen. And what he had done is he taken the go-kart and ran it into a truck. And he broke all his ribs on his left side, four on his right side, crushed his heart, and punctured his lung. And he was there, and when they arrived, he was crying for his daddy. And this old man came along and was trying to help him, and he called this old man his daddy. And his brothers were like freaking out. What is going on here? Well, long story short, they ended up taking him to the hospital, and that's how they found out what was all wrong with him, and that they said he should have died at that moment. There's no reason he should be living. So they did some x-rays and did some checking, tried to get him stable and stuff like that, and found out that not only did he crush his heart, but on the inside of his heart, there's a middle wall that goes between your heart that separates the good and the bad blood. It had five holes on the inside of that wall. So that blood was just going back and forth. There was nothing working there. So they rushed him up to Cleveland Clinic. And Cleveland Clinic looked at everything and they said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not much we can do. Because what we have to do is sew patches to that wall, and it's like sewing wet bread to wet bread. So there's nothing we can do. But we'll do what we can. So their parents, he told his parents, you got to go home because he won't be able to see you for days until he comes through. So his parents went home, and about a half hour after they get home, they said, we don't understand this, but your son is awake and says he wants to see his daddy. That's a half hour later. So they run back to the hospital and visit with him and stuff like that. And with about 2 months, they couldn't believe it. He was healed, and he was getting ready to walk out of the hospital. This was all because of God intervention. I'll tell you from the very beginning. What happened was when he was at the first hospital, his dad went down to the chapel. And he said, God, save him. Healing. And I will give you my life. I will give you everything. Just healing. And he said, at that moment, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And at that moment, he told everybody, he says, God told me he's going to heal my son. And all the doctors said, don't take, you know, I hear what you're saying, but please understand that that's not real possible right now. So God said he will heal my son. And it was months later, he comes out of the hospital, and the doctors then told him, he said, we didn't do this. Someone else did this. God above, because there's nothing we could do. So, get this then. The doctors tell them that your son will never be able to live a normal life because of his heart condition. He'll be able to, when he gets older, he'll have an office job, he'll go to work, he'll come home, and he has to rest because his heart will never be able to take what everybody else is doing. Within 2 years, he was playing sports with the rest of his brothers and sisters and pole vaulting on the track team. So, God does heal. And I just want to share with you, yes, give God applause. Give God applause. And to let you know, I'm the middle brother of that boy who went through all that. That was my brother, and I lived through that. Now, I want to share with you personal side of this whole thing. You would think, wouldn't you think that after seeing all this, that I would say, wow, I got to give my life to Jesus Christ. I was 14 years old, and I was still fighting it. You want to know why I was fighting? This is how silly we get. I'm going to just share with you. These are the excuses we use to not accept Jesus Christ. I'll just share with you how silly I was. After all this I saw God do, what held me back from giving my life to Jesus Christ was this one thing. Because, see, I was that guy that, as 8 years old, saw pornography. I was the guy that started drinking at 10 years old and smoking at 10 years old. And 12 years old. And here's the one thing that kept me giving my life to Jesus Christ. Those of you at my age will probably remember this. There was a wine that was very popular back in the 70s called Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. I was 14 years old and I never got to taste that. And I said, I can't give my life to the Lord until I taste this wine. That's why I didn't give my life to the Lord. For months. Now, that's how silly we can be. And I want to challenge each one of you. What is your excuse for not giving your life to Jesus Christ? Because whatever it is, I'll be honest with you, it's silly compared to what Jesus Christ can do and what He does. Because when I finally gave in, and said, okay, Lord, I am all yours. I can still take you back to that place on that altar and show you my tear stains and say, that is where I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And that is where I left Satan and came to Jesus. And every time Satan comes to tell me, he says, well, you didn't really do that. I said, yes, I did. Right here is where it was done. Right here, I said goodbye to you and said hello to Jesus. Now, I want to just share with you a few scriptures that really meant a lot to me through the years. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want to start there. It says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of the disobedience, among whom we all... Do you hear that, loved ones? And I call you loved ones. You know why I called you loved ones? God loves you. You're loved by God. That's why I love to call people loved ones, because you're loved by God. So you'll hear that. You'll hear me talk to you in that way, your loved ones. Okay, so loved ones, listen to verse 3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. God is telling us all in these verse 3 verses, we are all sinners. We all trespass against God. We live that way. That is what is normal. That is what is natural. That is who we are. That's who we are. Sinners. And he says, all of us, not just part of, and it's not just a little bit of sin, it's total sin. Everybody. That's who I am. Everybody, exactly. So I want us to understand it. And I just shared with you my life up to the age of 14. I am a sinner. Even at my earliest age of life, my first thoughts was, how can I sin? And the only thing my parents could do is teach me how not to sin. Because naturally, that's what I wanted to do. And I proved that through the early years of my life. Earlier years. Now, teenage my early years. But anyway, then it goes on in verse 4. It says, listen to this, loved ones. It says, you and I are sinners. We transgress against God. We're disobedient toward God. That's what it says. Now listen to what he says about that. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved you, loved ones. It says in the word us, but I'm going to say he loved you. Even when we were dead in our trespasses or our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to stop right there. Did you hear that, loved ones? See, I break down because I can't believe this. Even today, it's hard for me to imagine that as sinful as I am, that Jesus Christ still comes and says, I love you. And by my love and my grace and my mercy, I'm going to die for you. And I give you and I forgive you of your sins. And you know what else it says? I'm sitting you at the right hand with me. I'm sitting. You are now with me on the throne of God in heaven. That is great news. So we can praise God and love God and just be thankful and gracious for what he's done. Loved ones. If only we grasp this to the depths of our being, understanding the great love and passion and grace that God has for us. Why wouldn't I give my life over to him? Anything else is silly.
He's worthy.
He is worthy. And then it goes on. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And here's some of my favorite parts. This is how and why he does what he does for each and every one of you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. you hear that, loved ones? He didn't say you have to get right with Him. He didn't say you have to do this or do that to be right. He didn't say anything else. He didn't say it's by your works. He didn't say it's by how wealthy you are, how poor you are. He didn't say it's because of how smart you are or how ignorant I am. He didn't say anything like that. He said, by His grace and His grace alone has He saved you. So what He's telling us, loved ones, is you don't have to do anything to earn Him and what He has. All you have to do is accept Him. That's all you have to do. He's not saying you have to act right. You have to quit sinning now. He's saying He will take care of that. You just give your life to Him. And He will. Now, I understand. I'm going to throw this out at you. If you say you are a believer and your life hasn't changed, you better reconsider. You better reconsider. Because the Word says that if I have given my life to Jesus Christ, I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. And when Jesus comes in and saves you, He renews your mind and transforms your life. Which means I no longer desire to want to drink Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill again. I don't have that desire. Matter of fact, I have never tasted it in my life. And I'm okay with that. I don't have that desire anymore. I have no desire to do the things I used to do. So, loved ones, if you have received the grace of God, then you have no desire to be where you have been. You want to move forward with Jesus Christ and say, because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I'm giving it all up for Him. Everything for Him. That's what I do. If I don't have that, then I don't really love Jesus. So I'm encouraging you, loved ones, don't think you're there if God has not transformed you. It's very important. And it's not by the works that you're there, but the reason you do the works is because of your love for Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. That's why I've changed, because I'm still amazed and in awe of what Jesus Christ did for me. And when I'm amazed and awe of what Jesus Christ did for me, I say, anything for You, Lord. Anything for You. I will work for Your glory now. I know it doesn't save me, but I want to do it for You now. And then that goes on to further in the verses that I'm getting ready to talk about right here. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Did you hear that, loved ones? It's not a result of your works. It's not a result of what you can or can't do. It's only by His grace. Because as soon as I can say, well, it's because I did this, or because I'm doing this, or because God saw that I can do this, then it becomes works-oriented. And God said He doesn't accept that. And then what happens is the very thing that is opposite of Jesus, pride rises up in me. You know what? I made it because I did this. You know what? I'm where I'm at because I did this. And that's exactly what God says He doesn't want, because then we start boasting and being proud of who we are or what we've done or what we haven't done. Well, I'm not like them because I'm this, and that's pride. When we compare, the Bible tells us to not compare ourselves with ourselves. It says you compare yourselves with yourself. That ought not to be. And that's what boasting does. Boasting is all about comparing myself with other people. If you don't compare yourself, you can't boast. When you start comparing yourself, ask God, check my heart, because, whoa, I might be boasting here. And the Bible just told me not to boast. And the Bible says to be humble as Jesus is humble. Jesus was... Listen to what Jesus did in Philippians chapter 2. It says that in... I'm going to put it in my way of saying it. He was so humbled that He went to the cross, and even to the place of going to the cross and dying for our sins. That's how humble Jesus Christ is. And loved ones, if we have a hard time getting there, we need Jesus Christ to come to that place. You can have nothing and still be proud. Some of us think that if I have nothing, I can't be proud. You can still be proud because pride is a matter of the heart and the mind. Pride comes to a place where we say, well, I may not have it, but I'm still better. Amen. Loved ones, I am not better. God is better. God has moved in my heart and changed my heart and transformed my heart to the place where now, Lord, I got to humble myself. And loved ones, I'll be honest with you. I'll be really honest with you. I struggle with that. And I think we're all honest. We're all honest to say, I struggle with humility because I still want to raise up and make myself feel better than the next guy beside me. Now I got to continually ask God, bring me back down. And some of the things He does to bring me back down aren't real kind. But they bring me back down. That's where He wants me to be. That's where He wants all of us to be. Why? Because He loves you. He understands what's best for each and every one of us. And He loves you. He wants you to be so close to Him that you feel and sense and experience His presence on a regular basis. That's what God wants. As a father, they tell us in our community, in our culture today, that we as parents need to be spending time with our children. You know where that comes from? God the Father, He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to be in His presence. And the way that starts is through Jesus Christ, by giving our lives over to Jesus Christ. When I give my life to Jesus Christ, it opens up a door to the Father. And then He says also that you can come and enter into the throne, the Holy of Holies, into the throne, and be at His feet on the throne and be there with Him. Otherwise, we can't even get close to God. But because of Jesus Christ, it opens the door to the Holy of Holies, and now I can enter in and come and be with God the Father. And be in His presence. What better place to be? Amen. I would rather be in the presence of God than in the presence of our president or anyone else. Amen. I want to share with you something I shared with my congregation just a few weeks ago. One of the things I have done in my home, I made this little, it's like a walk-in closet, and I call it my prayer room. And I go there. I did this, my wife and I did this probably 20 years ago. It's dedicated to prayer and studying the Word of God. We do nothing else in that room. So when we walk in there, we sense the presence of God. Now I want to share something again. I'm being really honest with you, loved ones. I'll go in there. And there's times I walk out and I didn't sense the presence of God. Okay, I didn't hear Him. I didn't see anything. You hear pastors talking about this all the time, but I'm being real with you. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes I'll walk in there and I'll sit down and I'll read and I'll pray and I'll read and I'll pray and I'll walk out and it's like, okay, I didn't sense anything. Something's missing. And, but I'm going to be honest with you. I will go do that 100 times if only one time I have that experience with Jesus Christ. I will be there 100 times, experience just once. Loved ones, if we can only get to the place where we desire God so much that it's worth for me to go to the Word 100 times, worth for me to pray 100 times, if I get one time with Him in every 100 times, it is worth it. Because the presence of God is much greater and much more fulfilling than any other presence that I can ever be around. Try it. I'm going to share something else with you. In Ephesians, it tells us, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up like eagles. They'll run and not get weary, and they will walk and not faint. When I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, what you do, wait upon the Lord. Now listen, loved ones, just quiet here for a moment. Wait. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. Because when He shows up, you will rise up like an eagle. Amen. You will
walk and not be weary, and you will run and not faint. You will become strong again. There's something about the presence of God that wells up in us, that strengthens us, that helps the weary become strong, that keeps the hope alive. There's something that happens. So I want to encourage you again, wait upon the Lord. See, here's what wait means to us. Well, Lord, I spent 50 seconds here and I didn't get anything. Wait means wait and trust that he says that he will do what he says. Now, the last part of this scripture. It says, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Loved ones, you want to work with somebody that's powerful and mighty and awesome and sovereign and creates and its control of the whole universe? Give your life to Jesus Christ, because that's exactly what he says. He's got a purpose for each one of your lives. He has a purpose for each one of your lives. That's what the scripture just told us. He has a purpose for you to do good works for his glory. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of anybody else to work for better than God. He controls the whole universe. And here's what the amazing thing. I wish I had brought this with me, but I did not. Just a little visual of God and all his glory and his awesomeness and his sovereignty that he is. And he's a sovereign God. And if you can just picture with me this, here's what I got. Here's the timeline. Around this timeline is the universe. And God is like outside of all this, holding it with his hand. He's got everything under control. The timeline, the time, he's not a part of time. Okay, he sees the time and he can dictate in what goes on in the time. So in this place right now I believe is the time for you. For this God that holds the universe in his hand. This God that is so mighty and awesome and sovereign. This God who controls everything looks down and says, I love you so much that I'm going to die on the cross for you so that you can come and have relationship with me who creates and controls the whole universe. That's what he's asking. That's the God that I'm talking about. That's the God who took all my desires that Boone's Farm and all that said, you know, I don't have that anymore. That's the God who healed my brother and saved the whole family. From that moment on, my whole family got saved. And I thank God for that. So I want to encourage you. I want to ask you just to bow your heads for a moment. Is there anyone here that you want to give your life to Jesus Christ or recommit your life to Jesus Christ? This, I'm being serious today. Lord, I'm being serious. I want you more than I want anything else. I just want you to raise your hand. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I lift these men and women right now. Lord, there are some here that they're your children, but there are some that are weak, Lord God, and they're struggling. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would minister your strength to them. That your spirit would come in, Lord God, and enter their hearts and their minds. And Lord, encourage them and strengthen them and give them hope again, Lord God. And Lord, when the enemy comes and attacks, oh Lord, or when the world becomes a temptation, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would set them free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you one more step. One more step. If you raise your hand and you're serious about this, I'm going to encourage you to come up and pray. And I'll be glad to pray with you if you want me to pray with you. But you can pray by yourself or you can pray with me. It doesn't matter. because I want to share this. I'll be glad to pray with you, but God hears your prayers as well as He hears mine. But I want to encourage you to now make that move if you're real serious about Jesus.